Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin Radlin here, and we're just so excited that you joined us today for the program. I know we say that every time, but we really are excited that you joined us for the program. And we're believing that God's going to speak to you today, that He's going to talk to you. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to give you knowledge, and He's going to, through the words that we speak and the testimonies that we share, He's going to encourage you, strengthen you, and bring life into your life, which is what Jesus does. He says, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So that's what it's all about. That's what Turn the Light On is a program or a topical Bible study. And we like to just bring topics to the table. And right now we're going to introduce to you a very special guest and good friend of mine. I've got Bruce Levy with us today on the program. Bruce, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Yeah, so glad that you're here with us. Now, me and Bruce, we go way back. I guess I've officially been your pastor at some points. So I know I am kind of off and on now, just depending on where you're at. Because Bruce is a traveler. He's a missionary-minded guy, and I wanted to bring him on the program to just share some of his adventures and stuff. So, Bruce, we're just glad to have you today. What do you want to bring to the table here at Turn the Light On and share with people? What would you say in an overall nutshell that you're wanting to communicate to people today?
I just want to talk a little bit. I've got a heart for the church and for the people of the church that are still broken, which are seem to be a lot. And so I wanted to have I wanted to do two different segments. One today on stepping out of broken. It's a place where I've been in the church, so I have experience with it. And when you asked me to do the show, I didn't know what I was going to talk about, and somebody mentioned, why don't you think about what does the church need to hear?
Sure.
What do you think the church needs to hear? So I thought it would be a good topic for me to just share a little bit of my testimony, which I don't do real often. But I was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and I work with a lot of that alcoholics and addicts still, and I do a lot of that type of ministry. And so my story in somewhere, I think around 1986, I've been dipped, dunked, and saved all over there. I stayed at rescue missions, so I would have to say the words to get breakfast and
gotcha.
A place to stay that night. So it was worth it, but one time I was actually had to hitchhike out of Key West because they impounded my car. We're going to throw me in jail. Long story, but on the way out of Key West, a guy picked me up, and I basically feel like I was saved at that point because I said the prayer after the guy. I really wanted Jesus in my life.
Yeah.
But there's something that happened to me for the next 30 years of being clean and sober and praying in the morning to God. I went to church. But what's amazing is I really didn't even understand the basic gospel.
Right.
I didn't understand when I made a decision for Jesus what I was really even doing.
Sure.
Or at all, and tomorrow, or the next program, Stepping Into Your Power, I had no idea the power that I was given with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, I wasn't fully ineffective, but certainly not what God wanted me to be in His kingdom, and I wasn't living the promise of somebody. I was at church a few weeks ago where the pastor said there's something like 7,000 promises in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Thousands. It's amazing.
Thousands of them, right?
And maybe that's our job as believers. We've got to mine it out. We've got to get in there, and we got to discover in God's word what His promises are for our life. And like you said, we're all just working through this. We're trying to figure it out. So I'm excited to hear that you're discovering more and more who God's calling you to be. And I think that's what we really are trying to encourage people out there to understand too, is that God's got a plan for you. He's got promises for you, and he's wanting you to take hold of them. You know, he can't force them into your life. He's waiting for you to seek them out and discover them and implement them into your life.
Yeah, that's tomorrow, stepping into your power.
Hey, come on.
And that's important because, but first thing I had to do is I really had to admit my brokenness.
Sure.
And I had to repent. You know, I believe that the sin life, that the mistakes we make are a symptom of the brokenness. I don't think they are the brokenness. So if we want true healing at the core level, I believe the first thing we need to do is repent from the grosser level of the sins that we're committing. We have to turn from that.
Right.
And that's why James 5:16, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed.
Right.
So many people and me in my life have just traveled around the sin circle where you sin. You repent, you sin, you feel guilty, you feel remorse, then you repent, and then you come back around and do the sin again and feel guilty, remorse, repent, you know, and keep going around and not be healed.
Chasing your tail.
Yeah, basically, and not actually get healed.
Right.
One of the important things in this passage is to confess your sins to each other.
Right.
And it says afterwards, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So,
sure.
The prayers of the people that are with you will start, at least kick off that healing of that sin that you confessed. And then God can get to the level, deep down level, of where you were actually, the brokenness is, and heal you and free you.
For sure.
There's a life of freedom in Christianity. It's not a life of
bondage.
That sin circle. Yeah.
Yeah, I think one thing that you mentioned there that's really worth sharing with people is that we do need to confess our sins. We do need to repent in our lives, but we don't need to tell everybody.
No.
We need to find some good guys, and I know you have this in your life, and I have this in my life, but there may be people out there, Bruce, they don't have anybody they can go to. So you need to find some people in your life that you trust, that you can go to and be sincere, you can be honest with, and you can just open your heart up to them, and they're not going to crush you, they're not going to judge you, you know what I mean? And I know how hard that is to find. I've heard horror stories of people even going and confessing and trying to get free from sins to their pastors and getting kicked out of the church for confessing their sins. Oh gosh, you did that? No, you need to leave. So get out of here, you know? So I really do think, though, that it's important for all of us to have somewhere where we can be accountable, someone that we can talk to. You know what? And if you don't have that, you know, I would encourage you, get in touch with me at Lighthouse, and I would be more than happy to sit down with you, and I will not judge you. I assure you that I will be as sincere, and I will meet you with the heart of God and with love and compassion and help you. But Bruce, I think it's powerful, man, that you brought that up. I just wanted to reiterate that little point on top of what you were saying. So,
yeah, when you live a life, I have 36 years of working with addicts and alcoholics, you realize that if it's got a name for it, somebody's done it before, right?
Absolutely.
And there's more of it in the church than you know. And I always thought I had to get good to get God, but I needed to get God to get good.
There you go.
So I could row my boat almost to the shore.
Can I tweet that? That's pretty good.
You could use it next week in a sermon if you like.
You got
that's
it.
Fine.
I'm gonna use
as long as you put my name to it.
Okay.
You have to put my name on it. So I could row my boat almost to the shore, but I just couldn't seem to get there because I couldn't seem to get good.
Right.
You know? And I would try to do the right thing and not do the right thing. And, you know, there's a story that I want to, you know, Peter in the Bible denied Jesus three times, right?
Yeah.
But I want to kind of say this is what guilt and shame does to us. It separates us from God, but it also separates us from these people that you're talking about. We need to be able to get close to somebody, right?
Right.
So a few weeks ago, I was reading this passage, and you know when Jesus reappeared, he was on the shore. When he was transfigured, he was on the shore.
Yeah,
and he called to the fishermen in the boat.
Yeah, they went back to their old ways.
They went back to their old life, right?
He's like, what are you doing?
But here's something that really intrigued me. When Peter saw Jesus, he put his cloak back on and jumped in the water. and swam to meet Jesus, right? Hmm. A lot of us have read the Bible a lot, blasted past that many, many times, and I almost blasted past it again. And then I said, no, hold it. Holy Spirit, I need you to reveal this to me. What is this? And he revealed to me all the way back to Adam and Eve when they sinned. What did they do? They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, right?
Right.
So I really believe that when Peter swam to meet Jesus and put his cloak back on, that he really loved and wanted to see Jesus, but he really didn't want Jesus to fully see him.
Yeah.
Because he had the guilt and shame of denying him, right?
The guy that had walked away and was back doing his old thing again. Yeah, that's really powerful.
Right. And that's why, and then at that point, Jesus asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me, right?
Sure.
Jesus wasn't asking that because he wondered, oh, I wonder if it's Peter loved me. Because
does Peter love me? Let me ask him.
Yeah, and the third time, Peter even said, Lord, you know everything. So he even acknowledged, Lord, you already know I love you, right? He knew that. He didn't do that for him to understand, does Peter love me? He did that for Peter to be okay with Peter.
Right.
Right? So Peter could get rid of the guilt, shame, remorse.
Yeah.
And that cloak wouldn't be necessary anymore. So that's
almost a form of repentance in a way.
Yeah.
That's really
definitely
good. Definitely. What a great observation from the Word.
Yeah. He gives those to me once in a while.
I call those little nuggets.
Yeah. You spend some time in the Word and just stop and not try to blast through it. You could pick out these little nuggets in there. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So repent and be baptized. I think that's another important part of repentance is baptism and meaningful baptism to me. You have to repent. You can't get in the water with secret sin. You can't get in that water with some of your own agenda. You really have to be submitted to the Lord.
It's 100% surrender.
It's 100%. That's how you come up a new creation. Yeah. There's the promises in the Bible that we're a new creation, that we're transformed into his kingdom and all that. It's all very real.
It is.
We can live that here. We don't have to wait till we die, right? We can live it right here on this planet.
We can live it right here. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, it's right there. You can grab it. You can grab a hold of it. And, you know, I've always said this, Bruce, we're dual citizens of heaven and earth at the same time when we're Christians. You know, we're able to walk in the heavenly realm and we're able to walk in the earthly realm at the same time. You know, we're not trying to get to heaven. Heaven is Jesus, and we're already walking in that. Now, there is a place of heaven that we are going to eventually get to, but you know what I'm saying? That kingdom is already operating in our lives. So that's really cool.
So when I was saved on that trip to the Keys, I came back home and the guy got my address. And he, about a week later, sent me a bunch of Jesus flyers in the mail, right? Now I'm living it off of Clear Lake Road in Cocoa. I'm doing drugs. I got a whole house full of guys doing drugs. And after I got saved, I really didn't want to go back to that, but nobody showed me different, right? I didn't know where to go. I didn't know. I got given this this immediate gift and didn't know how to use it. It's like God gave me a whole toolbox, but I had no idea how to even open up the box, right?
Wow.
So I'm right back to the same thing again, right? Immediately.
Sure.
And
I did that for a season when I first got saved and gave my life to Jesus too.
Yeah, because it wasn't because I didn't want to. I didn't have instruction.
Yeah, right.
Right? And in me church, either. It was hard
Nobody,
to find
Yeah, people didn't know what to think of me. I'm this long-haired, heavy metal guy, you know, and they're just like, what do we do with this guy? The church didn't know what to do with me at a certain point. I'm sure they didn't know what to do with you either.
Nobody still knows. They still don't know what to do with
me. I'm still trying to figure out what to do with you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
The flyers, you can't throw a Jesus flyer out when you're out there. You know, somebody hands you sends you Jesus propaganda. You can't throw it out, right? So it would sit on my table when I was doing dope, right? And finally, one day, I needed something to wrap some drugs in to sell to somebody. And I didn't have anything else but the Jesus flyer.
Bro. Oh, no.
You know, it didn't fix me. Being saved at that point didn't change me, but I tell you what, it did change. I was way more convicted than I'd ever been.
Oh, yeah. So, sure. The Holy Spirit is talking to you now.
man, the guilt of wrapping that cocaine in a Jesus flyer. I still get a twinge of it today when I think back, 7 years later.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I think the conviction got worse, and my knowledge and my feeling of sin.
The nudgings got more intense.
Yeah, the conviction of sin was worse, but there was no other side to it, right?
Right.
And I see that in church a lot, not, of course, Lighthouse, but... there's churches that people are pretty broken. They're just not getting the whole message, right?
Right.
And tomorrow I'm going to do the other half of the message, and it's pretty basic 101. But so many people just don't live in this power. And you have to start with really admitting the broken. So many people don't want to admit the broken because you look around the church,
right,
and you think, oh, everybody's really good, and look at me. They're not going to relate to me. Nobody's been where I've been. And believe me, there's a lot of people in the church that have been broken and done a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So somebody's
been
where
you've been. Yeah, we see it every day. You know, people are just coming in here. You know, I think the church is supposed to look like a hospital, Bruce. I don't think we're supposed to just have this glorious religious moment, you know, and walk in and walk out and feel like we did our penance for the week and we just keep on doing what we do in life and then come back around. I think that's kind of, in some ways, that same thing you were pointing to with chasing your tail. You know, you just keep going around through the cycle, and then you come back on Sunday after Saturday and Friday night. You know, you got Sunday to get clear so you can feel a little better on Monday, you know, than you did the week before. And a lot of people end up getting pulled out of church because the conviction, you know, just gets so intense. They're like, I don't even want to go anymore. And they just kind of bury it and drown it. And I think a lot of people are struggling to find themselves in Christ. And I really do believe that, you know, as you're going to talk about tomorrow, that Holy Spirit power is where it's the key. It's the thing that's going to bring it to you know, completion. So
Thoreau said most men live lives of quiet desperation.
Sure.
And that was so much me in the church for so many years, and I wasn't doing the Friday partying anymore, okay?
Right.
And I didn't have the full power. So, you know, I was living an okay life. I had an okay business, and I raised my daughter well. But there always felt like there was something missing.
Yeah.
I couldn't put my finger on it because I thought I was being good.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Being good, I thought, was the answer. And it wasn't the answer at all. It wasn't about being good.
You can't be good enough.
No, never.
That's good. Come on, keep talking about this a little.
Well, what you said, knowing who we are in Jesus, and that statement doesn't really, that's a tough statement to make to people.
It is.
Who don't know who they are in Jesus.
Exactly.
Right? If you know who you are in Jesus, then you go, of course you understand.
Oh, I get it, you know, but when you don't, It's hard to grasp.
It is hard to grasp. And I think that what's important is the steps that you need to take to lead you there.
Yes.
Then you can know. Then you can know. Because you can't. I don't think you get to understand it first. You have to do it first, then understand it. You don't get to understand it before you do it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I see that a lot in people's lives that I tell them, they're like trying to get out of this scenario. They're trying to fix their marriage. They're trying to do all these things. And I'm like, you can't fix anything until you fix the fact that you don't have Jesus in the middle of it all. You know, if you can get Jesus into your life, if you can get Jesus and the power of God flowing in you, you can fix anything in your life, you know, because like you were saying earlier, a lot of the things that we're enduring and suffering with in our life are actually they're the circumstances of the deeper level sin that's down in there that only Jesus can reach. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse and wash away in our lives. So we've got to get to this place where we call on the name of the Lord and we're saved, and then we bring Jesus into our life. We're trying to fix it with counseling. We're trying to fix it with, you know, resources or things, when really Jesus is the answer. He's the only thing that's ever going to fully get us to where we need to be in our lives. And that's what I kind of want to encourage you guys with Bruce's testimony today. You know, maybe you're struggling out there. Maybe you're dealing with some stuff. You know, you need to know that God is waiting for you to invite him into your problems. You know, a lot of us think we got to get cleaned up first and then we can come to God, right, Bruce? I mean, and right. Then you even come to God and you feel like, all right, I got cleaned up, but now what do I do? Here I am. And the answer is this: you need to, you know, totally abandon yourself and allow Christ to live in you. You know, Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, but yet I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. And the yes. life that I now live, I live by faith. And that's the true transformation moment, I believe, when we surrender 100%. You know, I've given God 60% of my life, you know, and I never felt like I was fully there. You know, I think you said the same thing. I've given God 70% of my life, and I still didn't feel like, but man, that moment, you know, for me in 1988, when I fully surrendered to God and I said, God, I give you my life. You show me you're real and I'll serve you. And God hit me, man, a lightning bolt from heaven hit me, knocked me to the ground. Demons came out of me. My addictions fell off of me. And everything changed from that moment because I gave God 100% of my life. So if you're out there and you're kind of floating around and you're saying, God, I'm you may be hanging at the 99.99% level and you've still got just this one little piece. God is waiting for that piece and he is going to come and he's going to just bring breakthrough. Now, will you live a perfect life? No, none of us will, right? There's nothing you can do except just live in complete surrender to the Lord. And I believe you do that every day in your life, Bruce.
Yeah, well, it took all what I'm talking about and that brokenness and that desperation of just something missing. And then a traumatic event in my life where I just surrendered 100%, you know. And I kind of look back now and wonder, I wish I had done this a long time ago.
Sure.
But when I decided to live for the Lord, he gave me everything. I decided I'm going to give it all back to him. Mm-hmm. And then miracles happened. And miracles still happen to me daily.
Every day.
No shoes, homeless, unemployable street junkie in Cocoa. I'm talking on a Christian radio station right now. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. That's God.
Exactly.
That's
only God can do that.
With a ninth grade education, I became a really successful investor here. So, I mean, that's God, right?
It is, man. And give him the glory.
Give him the glory and give it all back to him.
All things are possible to what? Those who believe, you know? And you believe that Jesus would do something incredible in your life, and he did. But it does take that full surrender. It takes that moment where, you know, we just say, Lord, I've had enough of me. I've had enough of my life. You know, you repent, you give your life to Christ, and you give it all to him. And then God begins to rebuild you from the ground up. And it's an incredible thing to witness and see. You know, as a pastor, I see it happening in people's lives every day. I see God rebuilding marriages. I see God rebuilding, you know, health. I see God rebuilding bodies and hearts and minds. And it's an incredible thing to watch.
Yeah, we're talking about revival a lot. Revival's for all of us. It's not just for the unbelievers, for the believers, right?
That's right.
So let's have a revival.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk more about that.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60-plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence, 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on.
In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
Hey everyone, it's Pastor Kevin. Just wanted to take a moment and let each and every one of you know that we are going to be having a very special Mother's Day service this Mother's Day, May the 14th, in both of our services at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. here at Lighthouse Christian Church. You definitely want to get mom here. We're going to have special prizes, special recognition, and all kinds of cool things for mom going on at the service, and a special message just for her and each and every one of you. So please make sure you join us this Mother's Day for the service at Lighthouse Christian Church. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, we want to thank our sponsors and everybody who's just making Turn the Light On come into each and every one of our lives. So, Bruce, we've been talking about stepping out of broken in our lives. And, you know, I've known your testimony. I've seen your life, and I see where you're at now. And I definitely can say that God has stepped you out of so many different situations of brokenness, and the things that you've overcome in your life are a true testimony to the Lord. So what would you say to people out there that are maybe they're broken, they're struggling, they're stuck, they're feeling like you did, you know, where you're just like, I'm in this God thing, or and I'm not quite sure. It just doesn't feel like I'm fully there. And then some of them are just like, man, I don't know anything about God or at all. So, you know, what would be your advice to people in those situations?
I think the first thing is you got to get honest with yourself about, I'm not okay. You know, if you got to admit, I'm not okay. Something's not quite right. And even for the people that are listening that are in the church, that are Christians, that are in the Word, if you feel like there's something not quite right, it's not supposed to be that way. Okay? So I believe it's just like pain's in our bodies, a sign of something not right that needs to be repaired. In your mind, something's not right. You have that desperation. You have that feeling something's missing. That's brokenness that needs to be healed.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing is to be honest with yourself and to find somebody else to be honest with. And I've noticed in the church, one thing, if you start getting out and getting to know people, getting real, we're more alike than we are different.
Yeah.
So there's somebody else that can help you. You know, the people that help other people out of brokenness, which is something I do a lot, are the people that were broken.
Right.
So this is your ministry. This is your ministry. There's somebody else that's hurting that needs you to help them. So you need to get healed that you can help the next person down the line.
Sure.
You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and a word of our testimony.
Dude, that is such a good scripture, you know. And the other scripture for me in Hebrews says, how much more will the blood of Jesus purge your conscience from dead works so that you can serve the living God? See, God wants you to live for Him. He wants you to serve Him, but you got to come under the blood of Jesus, and you got to get washed, and you got to get healed, and you got to bring all that stuff to the Lord. You know, first and foremost, bring it to the Lord. And then secondary, you know, find someone that you can be accountable with. Like you said, pray for one another that you may be healed. And I think big part of your healing and your testimony has been that you've been helping other people, man. So I'm just so grateful to have you here on the program today. I appreciate your transparency and your honesty, and I'm just so glad that each and every one of us are able to come to God and be totally set free. So guys, hope you enjoy the program. Have a great day.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.